Good evening, everyone, from Studio 5 at Hutton Orbital. Yes, we're back in the usual broadcast booth, and things are ever so slowly returning to normal after last weekend.
Say, the cleanup team have done a really good job while we've been away. They've even stopped the squeak on my chair.
Oh, and we can see out of the windows again. I've no idea what was growing on the inside of them, but it gave everything a distinctly green hue. If it wasn't for that enormous asp right outside the window, we'd have a clear view all the way down to Eden.
What is the commander of that asp doing? He appears to be shaking his fist at us and making hand signals. Well, I don't recognize him. But he's got a rather pointy mustache, looks a little haggard, and his cape appears to have had a dreadful accident.
I don't know. That doesn't look like galactic sign language.
Hang on, I'll translate it. Seems to be some form of pirate code. It says, "I'd have kept Dunker's Rest if it wasn't for you meddling kids." The next hand signal is one I don't recognise, but if I was playing charades... Hang on, Norma, did you see that?
I think he's saying two words. First word sounds like chalk.
Second word sounds like... cough.
Prof? Doff? Trough? Rukavashnikov?
Always adding punctuation. You think that finger means exclamation mark?
Ah, it's okay. I'm sending a reply.
Are you sure that's the sign for Father Mug? I mean, if you were to shake a mug by its handle that hard and fast, it might break.
I think he gets the message.
And on that note, we'd better catch up with the news.
Perfect delivery sent for six as Poppy Pop's parcel in post.
Perfect pit stops and dastardly doings in the Buckyball races.
Pesky privateers grabbed by the fuzz.
Our fleet carrier is becoming camera shy.
Ballcock cock up or stopcock broken. Brewer leaks confirmed.
It's your agey lips around this one, says Wheel.
Bad floats away, having overstayed in Dunkers.
Losing big trouble for not shouting loud enough last week.
And Norma's got a couple of big ones to show us.
First, tonight, not all delivery companies are equal, and some are not more equal than others. Over in Colonia, one delivery firm, the Colonia Parcel Union, or CPU, bit off a little more than they could chew when one Commander Poppy realized that she'd left on the Cloud Atlas and left her diamond back. Back. As everyone knows, a diamond back is a girl's best friend, and anxious not to be seen without it, Flossie asked the local contact at Rattray to wrap it up in brown paper, stick a stamp on it, and send it out as fast as possible to rendezvous with the Atlas, only 500 light-years from her current location. As the rather large parcel didn't fit through the postage slot, it was taken in by CPU on their guaranteed, signed-for delivery service. And being close to Colonia, the fee wasn't exorbitant. The delivery barge duly loaded it up and set off at speed on a same-day delivery. On arrival at the location of the Atlas, Flossie, or Poppy rather, wasn't there. Nor was the Atlas. All that was there was a wake and a little beacon saying, "Gone to next stop, please forward all mail." Looking down at the motto on the lapel of his very sharply pressed space delivery outfit, the agent read aloud the words, "Neither war nor range, nor heat nor gloom of night stays these couriers from the swift completion of their appointed rounds." Or at least that's what they're imagining. With the Atlas having engaged ludicrous speed and having, as the Americans say, gone to plaid, he shifted into some secret delivery boy kind of overdrive in an attempt to catch Poppy up, which was only 3,000 light years further along the route. At which point he obtained Flossie's autograph, grabbed a quick cuppa, and looked at the return journey before setting out. Did he charge extra for the additional 2,500 light years? Did he even claim for the wear and tear on the delivery barge? Not a sausage. He didn't even chuckle at the destruction on the bridge that was related to Prophet Velen hitting the emergency stop to allow the delivery man to dock. It's a good thing that Velen was wearing his crash helmet at the time. Poppy, of course, was wearing her seatbelt, so the worst that she suffered was the view as Velen shot past her and into the computer console. We'd like to take this opportunity to applaud the delivery team over at the Colonia Parcel Union for their dedication. If only the delivery companies on Sol could be half as diligent, but then again, what do you expect from the Federation?
The members of the Buckyball Racing Club, the association started in 3301 by Commander Electric Z, whose headquarters are in the Fullerene C60 system, never let the grass, or anything else for that matter, grow under their feet. Well known for running Hutton-esque races that are the stuff of nightmares for the Galactic Insurance Services, with such events as time trials in both ships and SRVs, distance races, flying by and landing at dangerous and beautiful locations, the Bookie Bowlers wouldn't let a little thing like LaveCon being recreated as a Hollow Me only event stop them from having their annual tournament at this unconventional convention. Covering the 3 days of LaveCon, time trials were held over a course that started and ended at a landing pad in Lave Station, and in between involved flying to and landing at Almagro Port, Riort, Diamond Landing, Gurney Slade, Patsayev Base, Hajin Haimach, and Clark Enterprise in Heheng. That does sound something like something Delroy would say. Checks were put in place to ensure that competitors didn't just hide behind an asteroid and sneak out when everyone else was returning, like they used to with cross-country running. And ship identities were checked to ensure there was no cheating, as some pilots switch ships more often than an F1 driver changes their tyres. Professor Pat Pending in the converter ship caused some confusion, and one ship that had running boards added as a ship kit, flown by the anti-pirates mob, was disqualified for having Tommy guns fitted to its small hardpoints. The favourite ships over the weekend decked out in an array of colours which would make Major General Noctivagus very happy and Fantaeon very confused were Eagles and Imperial Couriers, with Viper Mark III, then Imperial Eagle. A mining-themed ship, piloted by the Slag Brothers, Rock and Gravel, attempted to win by making it go faster by hitting it with wooden clubs, but were thwarted by the Creepy Coupe, which seems to have been piloted by two Tharwoids. Several of the pilots went round and round the course many times trying to better their scores, but eventually the winner, in a sidewinder, was Commander Shay Blackwood, and we totally discount spectator reports that they were sporting a large moustache and that their co-pilot went as they shot past their rivals. The other places in the top 10 went to Commanders Darplades 94, Aiken B, Zgur, Crank Larson, Sulu, Indoro Pereira, Bob Dubrovnik, Osric, Ryko, and they have all promised us an interview once their dizziness settles down.
Hutton authorities nabbed a number of ne'er-do-wells this week, thanks to a clever new approach to law enforcement. Rather than the traditional method of hunting down the pirates in Vipers, Pythons and Corvettes, risking expensive rebuys, they found an innovative way to get the pirates to come to them. Hutton Security cleverly sent targeted advertising to the inboxes of potential pirate perpetrators, offering deals they just couldn't resist. Half-price eye tests at opticians when iris styes are smiling, and a stock clearance of odd shoes at Elite Feet Shoe Store was all that it took for the reckless reprobates to come flocking onto the parade at Hutton Orbital looking for a bargain. Once inside, They were taken through to a consultation room where they underwent pirate confirmation tests, which entailed a quick count of eyes and or legs before being marched out the back door and transported to the Pillar of Fortitude. Hook Hut on the lower rotunda refused to participate, saying that such a scheme would be catastrophic for their business model. Their ships, meanwhile, have been seized and will be auctioned with all proceeds going to the workers of Cubicle 3 Benevolent Fund and a new pool table for the staff room in the security office. So, if you fancy a cheap adder or an asp scout already fitted out for combat, get down to Test Tackle's Ship Chandlers and Marine Outfitters and put a bid in. All ships are adapted for disabled pilots and come with a free bottle of space rum. Honest.
There are rumours that fleet carrier owners might be getting a little sensitive about the damage that's done to their custom paint jobs after a 500 light year jump, and are trying to avoid the ribald jeers of street urchins by stopping anyone from getting a good look at them until they've had time for a touch-up, or at least time to get their paint repaired. Reports have been coming in that pilots who are calmly awaiting the arrival of a fleet carrier at its destination find themselves unceremoniously thrown from their ship just as the carrier begins to emerge from hyperspace, and that by the time they return to the spot, the fleet carrier has completed its exit and looks suspiciously as good as new. Unsubstantiated tittle-tattle of the friend-of-a-friend variety has raised the possibility of a new type of limpet used solely for paint job repairs. We, here at Hutton Orbital, do not set any great store by such gossip, and we find the notion of a group dedicated to the repairing of paint jobs called the Artwork Chimpanzees, because, of course, all volunteer groups are named after an animal, it's the law, apparently, to be tenuous at best.
Back on board the FTM Cloud Atlas, it appears that the Brewer Corporation's rush to deliver the high volumes of fleet carriers that people appear to want to park in droves around popular places has come a little unstuck due to a faulty parts scandal. Commanders throughout the galaxy have been reporting that their supplies of tritium/tritium aren't going quite as far as they'd hoped, with reports that either the NPCs boarding have been part of the Dastardly Don's pirate brigade, or possible even refugees from Sinbad the Bad's fart, and snaffling or siphling a smidge for themselves every jump, or there was a leak. It turns out that a floppy flange on a dodgy union was the culprit. Rather than spaceborne piracy, it's piracy of the cowboy kind, with the supplier admitting that they'd borrowed one from the same stock as used in Cubicle 3 over at Hutton, which explains the 16 tons that went missing every jump. The offending part has been duly patched, with some fast-hardening space putty, and the remaining jumps have been completed without needing to put out an emergency signal for a refuel, only one jump before home. The Pilots Federation have confirmed that there will be an emergency patch crew setting out next Tuesday to do the rounds of all fleet carriers and stick a proverbial finger in the hole before grabbing the flange and tightening their nuts up from T via VT and onward to FT. If you're not sure what those acronyms mean, we can reveal that the T stands for tight. The other letters we'll leave to your imagination.
In the ongoing saga of the Dark Wheel, or at least people who love the Dark Wheel and would like to become a member, please, they'll even go through the initiation ceremony and not complain about the bucket of custard and the flight suit full of jelly. Oh yes, they promise to go for their elite rank in CQC eventually. Honest. It appears that not only have they achieved the longed for expansion, but gone straight into war with a new faction, with the political arm of the faction having set up station in Enian Wu. They picked a fight with the Agilips Corporation for the right to stay in the system. one doesn't just pick a fight with the Dark Wheel. Well, not unless they started it first. They're employing known wheel tactics, including propaganda drops, misinformation, diversionary tactics, and of course, denying everything in their attempt to take charge. There are rumours, of course, that the political wing of the wheel don't actually have a plan as to where they're expanding to, but this one will do until we remember, appears to be the order of service for the time being. With 54,999 systems left to choose from until they remember where they left their station and which one of them's actually Raxler, at this rate, it will take them until 5421 until they've conquered the galaxy, at which point they might reveal the location after all.
There is fantastic news from Colonia. As it appears that Sinbad the Bad has had his fingers prized from the prize, and in a surprise move, the 38 have managed to take Dunker's Rest off him. With him having converted the factory over at the Biscuity base into an internment camp for people he doesn't like, and having been relishing the wails and screams that echo along the corridors as he wafts the smell of delicious baking to people that haven't touched a cookie in months, it was high time that he was evicted back to his airy fart and some proper people put in their place to run it. With Ed's 38 having come under concerted attack by forces loyal to Sinbad the ever so bad, it was always going to be hard to bring them back to the top, but a crack team of crumblies were put onto the job, and with the help of many locals, the 38 managed to divert one of Radio Sidewinder's broadcast satellites and hammer it directly into Sinbad's office. He wasn't there at the time. He was busy planning tax rises, cancelling the Hutton TV licence for the over 75s, and issuing planning licences in return for brown envelopes stuffed with void opals. The effect? The dodgy forged paperwork, complete with fake signature from his mum, that meant he didn't have to reveal his tax returns for the last 20 years, was all burned to a crisp, including his document that meant he was in charge. Radio Sidewinder's team managed to take temporary control of the system. The 38 breathed a sigh of relief and are organizing a polite handover of control in a peaceful and socially distant ceremony over the next week. Many a pilot who has a bounty on their head issued by Mr. The Bad has now been able to dock at the Dunker's Rest, and they've begun placing orders from local fleet carriers for large shipments of flour, butter, sugar, and baking parchment. Meanwhile, Mr. The Bad was seen escaping in his Asp, but his location is not currently known. Having taken a beating in a second system in the area in the last week, there are many pilots asking if they can be the next one to lick the spoon. Congratulations to the whole team and to the truckers and paladins who have loaned their assistance to this endeavour. Now, everything's quiet in the bubble, isn't it? No disasters that require our attention. Of course not. But we'd better go and check with Lou, just in case.
Now, let me see. Note to self, try not to sound patronising. What did we say last show? It's all gone a bit shit in Stein. That was it, wasn't it? And, a slight paraphrase, but I also said, if we don't increase our influence, there is a risk of getting into a pointless conflict. And I definitely said, grab Stein by the handle and boost the crap out of it. Now, I know a lot of you can see me, but I can't see you. If I could, I'd ask for a show of hands from those who boosted the crap out of Stein, and I don't think I'd see any, would I? What happened? Yes, we got into a pointless conflict. Now, I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed. Currently, we're 3-1 down in the war. Basically, we have to win every day until it stops or we lose the system. If you could all get over to Sign and store this shit out, that would be great. Otherwise, I'll tell Alvin. And yes, I will be naming names. Now, there were approximately three commanders working in Colonia, and as you've just heard, they managed to return the biscuit factory to its rightful owners, so I'm sure the thousands of pilots in the bubble can sort this mess out. Speaking of pilots in Colonia, we have an election in Tyr, as usual. The rest of it's fine, so just shout Hanky if you want any advice there. Over to Norma.
As Flossie's busy preparing for the reading of the final episode of Miss Marbles, she promises to play the tune later, but I'll be talking about it here for her. Well, I'm sorry to report that despite my best efforts on Saturday, I was unable to force the Pilots Federation members that I was keeping under lock and key to produce any community goals or interstellar initiatives. I threatened them with dire consequences. I even promised to boil them up, but they kept pointing to my combat ranking, then unsuccessfully trying to hide their smirk behind their hands. So in the end, I was forced to let them go, but not without a special big hug from Flossie. So once again, it's down to us, the real pilots of the galaxy, to create our own fun. And to that end, we have two CCCGs this week, both of a trade, supplying fleet carriers. To celebrate 07-07-3306, Lawrence Legion is pleased to announce a pilot-driven CG in the Prism system. The system's primary export, Tantalum, is depleted, and she only needs help to transition to an agrarian economy. Lawrence Legion fleet carrier, Law, Reconciliation LLL-40Z, is in orbit above Shion and is facilitating the request for commodities needed to begin the process of transitioning the economy. The requested commodities are agri-medicines, aquaponic systems, crop harvesters, land enrichment systems, water purifiers, and pilots who contribute will be rewarded a 300% galactic average market value for each commodity. The requested quantity per good is set at 3,000. And our second CCCG, the Anti-Xeno Initiative, has announced its intention to provide its flagship fleet carrier, the Astras, with an experimental paint designed to hide it from the Thargoids. The carrier is to be a spearhead for anti-Xeno operations and will act as a safe haven for pilots to restock and repair. To facilitate the completion of this project, the Anti-Xeno Initiative has placed an open order for the following items: 10,000 Thargoid hearts, 2,500 meta alloys, and 250 each of Thargoid sensors, Thargoid probes, Thargoid links, Thargoid Cyclops tissue samples, Thargoid basilisk tissue samples, Thargoid Medusa sipple tissue samples, Thargoid Hydra tissue samples, Thargoid technology samples, Thargoid biological matter, and Thargoid resin. Independent pilots are invited to deliver these items to the Astra's fleet carrier stationed in the Sterope 2 system. Pilots will be compensated upon delivery. The campaign begins on the 29th of June 3306 and will run until the 20th of August 3306. If the final target is met earlier than planned, the campaign will end immediately. Oh, and we're delighted to say that we've seen a little Willy at the orbital. He has finally arrived and photos of him have been circulating courtesy of the Major General, who is quite proud to be sharing his cockpit with his little Willy.